Realtor.com is making a stand for buyer representation, and you can too. Join Realtor.com in sharing the list of 111 things buyer's agents do. Visit Realtor.com/buyer agent toolkit to help spread the word. Buyer agents are essential.
The average person doesn't really care about the real estate industry, right? Like, we're in it every day. But if you're going to work and you're not in our industry, like, you're not even paying attention to this stuff.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's going to be really important on the buy side to have full disclosure. But as long as consumers don't have to pay out of pocket, I think nothing changes. And it's how you explain and educate a consumer. So if I tell you, hey, Tracy, my name is Jason, blah, blah, blah. We met through so-and-so. Just so you know, I'm really excited to show you these houses. I have a representation agreement. It allows me to show you homes. When we do find the right home for you, I want to let you know that in most cases, my services will be paid for through a cooperative compensation through the purchase contract, which means that in most cases, you may not have to come out of pocket and you probably won't. There may be some properties that do not offer cooperative compensation, in which case I will let you know up front if we're in that situation. You can also choose to not do those properties, or we can still ask the seller at the time to see if they're allowed to do so. The goal is to not have to have you pay out of pocket for my representation fees, but just know I will let you know that up front if we find ourselves in that situation. If it's explained like that, there's not a single person that's going to have an issue signing a representation agreement. But it's how we explain it to the consumers, which is the important piece.
The NAR Commission's lawsuit settlement has spurred a lot of emotions and a lot of real estate leaders. And Jason Mitchell, the founder of JMG, or the Jason Mitchell Group, is just one of those. I had him on the podcast today, and we talked a lot about his passion for the industry and some of the actions that he's taking. He really relies on buyer leads and some seller leads, but a lot of buyer leads from lender referrals. He also is very heavy into working with veterans. So this directly impacts his business and, just having veterans able to come up with a down payment plus, or actually not a down payment, but a commission is very difficult. So we talked about that, but he also developed the Real Estate Agent Pledge, and he'll tell us a little bit more about it on the podcast, but it is really a commitment from everyone in the industry for transparency and ethical behavior when it comes to working with buyers and sellers. So enjoy the podcast, and I hope that you take his passions back with you. Jason, thanks for joining the Real Trending podcast, I should say, again.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah. So for anyone who maybe didn't listen to the last one, which has probably been over a year ago, to kind of set up some of the questions I have for you, why don't you give us our audience a little background on your business model and the way you practice?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. Our company, JMG, we're really a specialty when it comes to servicing referrals from large institutional clients, big lending clients, search clients, relocation. This year, we'll distribute somewhere in the ballpark of around 100 to 120,000 referrals to our agents across the country. And that's about 85% of our business. This year, we're on pace to hit a little over $5 billion in production and around 12,000 transactions.
And most of those referrals, or maybe all of them, are buyer referrals, correct?
The majority are, but we're about 70-30. You know, we're fortunate to manage some portfolios for people like Mr. Cooper and Freedom Mortgage. And so there's a good handful of sellers in there. But yes, still, I think we're about 80% buy-side heavy.
Okay. And the reason I ask is I want to talk a little bit about the NAR settlement. Because you're buy-side heavy, I wanted to know how you feel like it's going to impact your business model. And then we'll kind of go into any strategic changes after that.
Well, you know, I've been on a lot of different podcasts talking about this, and I think there's good and bad. And I think the good is that we're going to start having, which is interesting because it's always been this way, that you should get a buyer broker sign. But now all of a sudden it's going to become way more common practice. And as that becomes more common practice, the consumers are going to now start to understand that it's common practice. And I think that creates a world where we have more loyalty within the agent population of consumer to agent. And, you know, there's been so many times when you think about it that people don't get a buyer broker signed. And the next thing you know, they're at D.R. Horton signing on their new home, and all the time and effort that you spent, you're not getting compensated on. Or they want to go see a home and you're busy. And so you say, can we see it at 2 instead of 10? And you don't hear from a client, they go into a home and now somebody. So I believe it's a good thing to have true representation in writing. And I also believe that that representation should have full transparency when it talks about the services provided, the fees associated with that. But I think where the bad comes into play is how NAR structured this with the MLSs. And the reason that is because we need transparency. And we need transparency not to say, not to show what somebody's being compensated. You know, there was these arguments that agents steer. And my argument back to that was, okay, maybe in the, you know, maybe in the 80s and 90s you could steer, but you can't really steer now because people find their own homes. They're online. They're seeing it. If a home is listed, regardless of the percentage, and a consumer wants to see that home, we're showing them that property. So agents can't really steer based on percentage. But the reason that this is a major problem is because it's the consumer itself not knowing if there's going to be cooperative compensation from the very get-go. Now, why is that important? It's important because, Tracy, if you and your husband were looking for a home and a non-negotiable was it has to be a single-level home, if a home is two stories, you're not even going to look at that property. That property is as if it doesn't even exist, right? You don't even look at photo two. It's just next, 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 because you want a single-level home. Well, to a consumer that doesn't want to pay for representation fees out of pocket, if they know in advance, and again, it didn't have to be a percentage. It should have been a simple NEG, negotiable, meaning it's offered or a yes or a no. Because the problem now that's going to occur is that a consumer is going to see a home and they're going to ask their agent, hey, I'd like to go see this property on Saturday. That sounds great. Okay, cool. Call, set the showing appointment. But the next question is going to be, are you offering cooperative compensation? Why? Because my client doesn't want to pay any monies out of pocket. So now if they say no, or let's say it's 1% and they got to make a gap up of the difference, I got to call my client back, tell them, I know you like it, but unfortunately, and they're sitting there saying, well, I shouldn't have got excited about it. I wouldn't have even looked at it. So if they knew in the forefront, it would be as if that property doesn't exist. That's why there needs to be transparency with this for the consumer's sake of the experience when purchasing a home. That's the problem with it.
Yeah. Well, and first of all, I'm not quite old enough for just a one story. So we're going to still stick with the two story right now.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's good.
Secondly, how, I mean, I think it's not necessarily that the buyer doesn't want to pay out of pocket. I think a lot of times the buyer can't pay out of pocket. They don't have enough for both the down payment on the home and, you know, paying a fee as well.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. You know, and so when people look at this, look, they want, you know, they attack the big business of real estate. And the problem was the big business of real estate is not done by big business. It's done by independent contractors. And so to attack the real estate space, to say that this is from collusion of conspiracy when it comes to commissions, that's not true. If there was any collusion in this case, to me, I look at, look, Tracy, I'm sorry, but I've stated this multiple times. I think NAR threw the industry under the bus. And the reason that is because years ago, when this initial case was in litigation, the defendants went to another defendant in Chicago and said, hey, look, what they're asking for is, can you remove the percentage? Because it's this universal compensation that the DOJ seems to have a problem with it, meaning that it just seems as though 3% seems a little bit fishy. Can you just remove the percentage and just indicate that it's negotiable? And NAR said, no. If you want to list a home, you got to belong to NAR. And if you want to list a home, you got to belong to this MLS. And you also have to charge fees. Okay. And they kept their feet in the ground on that, 10 toes down. And the problem was, is that if they just changed it to negotiable, which we all know that commissions have always been negotiable, there's never been a set fee on commissions, then we would have never been in this mess. But the problem I have with it, Tracy, is now all of a sudden they changed their tune, and then they went to, you can put zero into the buyer broker commission, and now it's, now you can't put anything. And the problem with not putting anything is, what's the value of your product then? Like, so now you're telling us, when you could have avoided these lawsuits and just put negotiable, now you're creating an issue because now you're saying you can't charge it. And you did that because you horse traded a $5.5 billion judgment for $400 million over the course of 4 years. And you horse traded that so the DOJ could get their headlines in an election year stating that you don't have to pay buyer broker commissions anymore. Sellers don't have to pay buyer broker commissions anymore. We just saved the industry $30 billion in fees. That's the headline. So the DOJ got what they wanted by creating this $30 billion headline that they went and they helped consumers save because they allowed NAR to take a big haircut on all of this, which now, as you see last week, now knows who knows where this goes once again, where we're at. But the reality is that the key factor that the MLS provided was the transparency of cooperative compensation for consumers. And now it's, you know, to me, we need a better solution now. We need a net. So if there was collusion in this, like if there's any collusion, it's very odd to me that if I go to list a home in Atlanta, Georgia, and I go to list a home in Scottsdale, Arizona, and Tracy, you're my client, the goal is to list a home, put it on the open market so everybody can see it. Why is it that I have to belong to the National Association of Realtors to do that? Why is it that in Atlanta, they'll charge me 0.0261% of that listing, but in Scottsdale, I just got to pay $400 a year? Why is it in Manhattan, I got to pay $5,000 a year? So to do the same work, we want to talk about the same work with realtors, right? To do the same work, to list something on an open market, I'm paying all these different fees set by all these local boards. But in order to do that, I have to belong to this group in Chicago. Like, that doesn't make much sense to me. NAR gets to dictate that if you want to list in the Arizona Regional MLS, that you got to belong to their group to do so. Why? You know, like, so... So if there's, if you're asking about collusion, to me, I just think it's odd that we got to belong to a trade organization in order to list a property on a local MLS board that's going to charge us fees that are just made up and have been there. I believe that there should be fees to use a product. Don't get me wrong. But why is it that it has to be different in every single board that you join? That seems bizarre to me.
. 2024 is the year to act, to make bold moves, tell better stories, and build brands that endure. At the 1000 Watt Brand and Marketing Summit, we're putting real estate experts like you in a room with some of the greatest marketing minds around so you can turn your big ideas into action. Join us in Dallas, June 25th through the 27th for a real estate event designed for doers. Get your tickets at 1000watt.net/summit. That's 1-000-WATT.net/summit. Yeah, and it's not every board, because I know that, you know, I'm in Florida and we're decoupled from the MLS and membership in the association. You can join the MLS and not the association.
Very few.
Very few.
There are some out there, but there's very few. You know, there's very few. And so here's where I think the outcome comes into play. One, I love full disclosure and I love complete transparency. Two, I still think smart sellers are going to offer cooperative compensation. But it opens the door for weak agents that go to a listing appointment that just simply want to get the listing, and they're going to take the listing at a lower clip of a commission just so they can get the listing. But the problem that they're putting their sellers into the play and themselves is that with everything coming out, consumers are going to create their own steering. So when your home's sitting on the market 30 days and Tracy calls me and says, Jason, we've only had one showing in 30 days, what's going on? And my response is, well, I could have had 20, but people don't want to pay out of pocket for services and you're not offering cooperative compensation. They don't want to see your home. I've been told that, well, Jay, all they'll do is they'll just go to the listing agent. And Tracy, here's my argument with that. In today's world, if I'm listing your home, and let's say we have a 5% co-broke, 2.5 to me, 2.5 to the buy side. If someone comes directly to me as the selling agent, and I want to assume the risk of dual agency, I at least have financial compensation to do so. It's more risky for me to take that on representing both sides. It's certainly not in the best interest of both parties, but at least there's another 2.5% that I can get paid for my risk to take on this new client. Well, if a seller isn't offering cooperative compensation and I'm getting 3%, but I'm not offering anything and somebody comes to me directly, why on earth would I take the risk of representing that person if there's zero in it for me to assume that risk? So the dual agency argument to me makes no sense because, first of all, a lot of states don't allow it and a lot of brokers don't allow it, and they shouldn't. But if that's the argument that, well, it's fine, they'll just go directly to the seller and the seller's agent and they'll represent them. No one wants that. Would you want somebody representing with the same fiduciary, the person buying your home, is the one and you're selling it? No way. No way. But the point is, they're not even there. There's no compensation available to assume that risk. So I don't see that world.
Yeah. And it honestly, it's very, very confusing to consumers with the headlines, like you said. I mean, even my own family, we do Sunday dinners, and my one sister-in-law is listing her property with a full service realtor. My other sister-in-law buys investment properties, and she's like, I'm never going to pay a full commission. I'm going to go to the 1%, and I know the properties I want. And there was like a whole argument about that there, and they really didn't understand. Now, the sister-in-law went with the full service. The agent explained everything to her, and she and her husband do completely understand, and they're offering, co-broke, they're offering, what they need to. So, but it's really interesting. There was like so much confusion around it. And that's just my family. Just think of,
Yeah, because the headlines are you don't got to pay anymore.
Right.
And so, but here's why I think that falls. I think once the dust settles, it's going to be something that's headlines now. But I think in 6 months to a year, I get lost in the fact that the average person doesn't really care about the real estate industry, right? Like, we're in it every day, but if you're going to work and you're not in our industry, like, you're not even paying attention to this stuff.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's going to be really important on the buy side to have full disclosure. But as long as consumers don't have to pay out of pocket, I think nothing changes. And it's how you explain and educate a consumer. So if I tell you, hey, Tracy, my name is Jason, blah, blah, blah. We met through so-and-so. Just so you know, I'm really excited to show you these houses. I have a representation agreement. It allows me to show you homes. When we do find the right home for you, I want to let you know that in most cases, my services will be paid for through a cooperative compensation through the purchase contract, which means that in most cases, you may not have to come out of pocket and you probably won't. There may be some properties that do not offer cooperative compensation, in which case I will let you know upfront if we're in that situation. You can also choose to not view those properties, or we can still ask the seller at the time to see if they're allowed to do so. The goal is to not have you pay out of pocket for my representation fees, but just know I will let you know that upfront if we find ourselves in that situation. If it's explained like that, there's not a single person that's going to have an issue signing a representation agreement, but it's how we explain it to the consumers, which is the important piece.
Yeah, definitely. And so with your own company, what are some strategic changes that you're making, if any, other than the ones that are required by the settlement that, I know it's a proposed settlement, but the mandatory buyer agreement or representation agreement is going into effect no matter what. We know that. I mean, that's July.
Yeah, yeah. And I believe that's a good thing. We should have done that a long time ago. I do want to point out, though, NAR is not the law. Just because NAR says you have to do something doesn't mean you have to do it. But I like the common practice of full disclosure through documentation. I love that. I think that's a wonderful thing. What we're doing is we're making our buyer broker agreement more transparent. We're laying it out. We're educating our consumers up front about it. We're also listing all of the services that you get with our agents when you hire one of our agents. And on the listing side, we're encouraging cooperative compensation for the best interests of the transaction in itself. So we in there, and what we're crafting is, of course, the listing fees are negotiable, but just know that the lower that you compensate a buyer broker, the more the harder it's going to be for their client to want to purchase your home based on the fact that they may not have the funds available to do so out of pocket. And so I think if you explain it to a seller that way, I don't think that they'll care either. I mean, the reality is, Tracy, buyers have always paid commissions. If your home's worth $500 and there's 6% commissions and a buyer goes to buy that home for $500,000, guess what? The cost of sale is being paid by the buyer. It just didn't appear that way on the settlement statement. Buyers have always paid commissions. They paid the seller commissions, you know? So like, and that's another argument too, when you talk about from a mortgage perspective, banks and lending institutions aren't stupid. When they underwrite a property for a purchaser, they know that the value of the asset is not the purchase price of the asset. Because if there was no commissions in that price, the asset would be worth 6% less of the purchase price. Banks know that. And so it's just a matter of, and Fannie and Freddie came out, as you saw, not too long ago, a few days ago, and said, hey, no, we have no problem with this. We don't count it towards concessions anyway. So this is the world we're going to get to. We're going to get to a world where it's just negotiated in the purchase contract, which is fine. I have no issue with that. It's how they recklessly came out with this, and they recklessly came out with it to appear to the public. But that's what the news media wanted, and that's what the DOJ wanted. So they blasted that. But it's also reckless to say, oh, and by the way, we're just going to do it in July. I mean, I know that's 4 months away, but we're just going to do it in July. That seems quite fast, in my opinion.
I have a question for you based on the fact that you said they're always paying commission, that the lenders understand that that's part of the purchase price. But then how can you make the argument that the market sets the price of the home and the commission is not raising the price of the home, that it's what people are willing to spend on that home? It's supply and demand.
Yeah. I mean, I think that goes back to, and here's another side of that argument, which is a wonderful argument. What I go back to is, you've created this underground world now with no transparency with CoBroke to say, so I'm your listing agent, Tracy. Buyer's agent calls me, says, hey, the home over on Main Street, you offering cooperative compensation? Yeah, we're willing to do so. Great. What are you offering? I don't know. What are you offering? If you offer me full price, I can pay you $3. If you offer me $490, I can pay you $2. If you offer me $485, I can pay you $1. So tell me now, we're going to be negotiating, theoretically, against the client's purchase price for our own commissions, because there's no transparency on what the compensation is. It's going to be all negotiated. Now, I'm okay with that. But the reality is that that's really how it's going to be done moving forward. So now you find out from your agent and you say, well, I could have bought this at $485 if you would have only taken 1%, but you took $3, so you made me pay more. Yeah, but that's kind of how it works now. So, I mean, that's the world we're going to get to. Instead of it being transparent what somebody's making, you're not going to know until you make those phone calls. But that's what everyone's going to say. Yeah, we'll pay you 3% if you bring us a full price offer. So now I got to go back to my client. If we're talking total transparency, well, I'm making 3%, so we got to offer $500,000. We'll offer $490. Well, if we offer $490, you're going to have to come up with an extra 1.5%. Like, wait, what? Like, it's just, our system worked great. And they blew it. But this is all going to find a world. Where I'm nervous about, Tracy, and I think you know this about us, we service more veterans than any real estate group in the country. And we have an amazing relationship with one of our biggest partners, if not our biggest partner, Veterans United. And so they provide us with so many veterans that we provide home ownership to. We do thousands of deals a year with them and with our veteran clients. I'm very nervous for them because they don't have the money, most of them. And what's the point of having a zero down VA product? First of all, they're not even allowed to pay for it out of pocket. It's against the VA rules. We have to figure something out for them. We have to figure out a way to roll these fees in. Otherwise, you are knocking out the VA buyer. You're knocking out the FHA buyer, the low down payment borrower, the borrower that uses down payment assistance programs. And this is what pisses me off. These are the people that need it the most. These people can't, they're check to check now. They can't make money in the stock market. They don't have enough to put in the stock market. They never will. The only way they can achieve wealth is you buy a home today, and in 15 years, the home that you paid $300,000 for is now worth $450,000, and you've paid the $300,000 down to $150,000. So you got a $300,000 nest egg that you would have never had because you bought a home. And now you can take an equity line out and put your kid through college, right? Like, now you can sell your home and have a nest egg to go live the rest of your life on. And these are the people that need it the most. And there's still no solution for these people yet. So what are we going to do? Like, that's the part to me that was reckless in all of this. And you're talking July? These people have already got their butt kicked in 2020 when they were trying to buy homes at a 3% interest rate, but lost to cash institutional buyers around the corner. One out of every three homes in Texas was bought from an institutional buyer. People that need home ownership losing out to Wall Street. Now, all of a sudden, they become tenants. They come back into the market center. Prices are up 30, 40%, and now interest rates are at 7%. You've already knocked half of these people out of the market. And now we're going to do it because they don't, I can qualify to buy a home, but I don't have the extra money to pay out of pocket for my services. And then people say, well, they'll just go to an attorney. Well, attorneys aren't free. So you can go, you can say you're going to go to an attorney, but you still got to pay out of pocket for that attorney. And the other side of that is when people say, well, they'll just go to the attorney. If they're not going to, if dual agency is something that doesn't seem a world that exists, then we'll just have an attorney write the contract. Yeah, okay. But I think they're misunderstanding the real work of a buyer's representative, which is I'm touring you. I'm taking you to 15, 20 houses. I'm writing offers that don't get accepted. Then we go into contract and then it falls out. And then I got to find you a new home. The work is done up front. Attorneys aren't doing that. And if we become a service-oriented business, think of this world. So people say, well, we'll just, real estate agents are going to start to become like attorneys and they're going to charge hourly. Okay, let me ask you this question. I don't know about you, Tracy, but when you get a bill from your attorney, every time you look at that bill, you say, whoa, you spent that much time on that? So I'm going to give you a bill at closing. And all of a sudden, it's always going to exceed any expectation that you had because I'm going to charge you for looking at properties with you. I'm going to charge you for driving to your home. I'm going to charge you when we talk on the phone to negotiate the deal. And you're all of a sudden going to look at that bill where that bill might even have been more than the co-bro given the amount of hours spent with that consumer. I don't see that world existing. I don't. And by the way, they would still have to pay out of pocket for that. So it doesn't solve the problem either.
Yeah, definitely not. And so you put together a campaign, and let's talk about that. It's called the Real Estate Agent Pledge, because you're obviously passionate about this, you know, this issue in the industry. So tell me a little bit about that and what it is.
Absolutely. And thank you for bringing that up. Look, this industry has been everything to me. I mean, it's created an amazing life. I've been in it for over 20 years now. I've met the best people in the world in this industry, from my clients to people like yourself and the people at Housing Wire, Real Trends, and Mr. Murray, and you name the great people that I've met in this business. So it's been really good to me. And the Real Estate Agent Pledge is a commitment that we will, as because what breaks all of this is the community of bad agents that don't create their value to their clients. Those are the ones that'll break it. Those that understand the value of what cooperative compensation represents for the transaction and the most simplistic way to home ownership for buyers and the most simplistic way for sellers to sell their home is that we create an environment that makes it the easiest way for home ownership. And that's what this pledge is all about. It's about not only real estate professionals in the community understanding that this is a good thing, it's also lending partners, because lending needs this, you'd argue, more than the realtors, because if all of a sudden you're taking a pre-qual on a client and you allow them to find their own agent, and that own agent isn't creating disclosure and complete transparency, they fall in love with a home. Now they got to come out of pocket and they say no. Now they can't buy that home. Guess what? All the work that the lender did to pre-qualify the client, work with them, get them the right home. Now all of a sudden the client's saying, well, I can't buy the home because I don't have money to come out of pocket. And it's only because they didn't hire the right real estate professional. So the lending community needs to make sure when they refer, now more than ever, lenders need trusted agents. They need trusted companies like JMG, because we need to make, for the sake of, I need to give this to a real estate professional that is going to give my client education upfront about this process, so they know in advance what is about to come, and the full disclosure and transparency in the cases where there isn't cooperative compensation, this is what we could be facing. Because, and again, I'll tell you this, in our buyer broker agreement, we're giving these checkboxes for our clients to where they can literally sign off that I don't want to see homes that I have to come out of pocket with. Why are we doing that? Because I want the consumer to decide and tell us upfront if our services are going to have to be paid out of your pocket. Do you still want to see those homes? I want them to tell us yes or no. And I'll bet you, Tracy, I'll bet you 9 out of 10 people say no, because guess what? If they're not offering it, I'm just going to move on to the next home. Screw it. And as we all know, over the past year, inventories are up 30 and 40%. So as inventories continue to go up, then consumer choice on the buy side, they're just going to say, well, I'll just look at the next one. So I think we find ourselves in that position, but it is really important for lenders to look at this pledge, because it's a commitment from lenders that we're going to do our part by helping our real estate agent community and their clients understand what cooperative compensation represents and what that means to you as a buyer when you go into the field with your real estate professional and utilizing trusted real estate professionals.
And what is the URL? Is it therealestateagentpledge.com?
Yes. NAR was not happy when I put the realtor pledge. Let's just say that.
Yeah. I will put the link in the show notes so that anyone who wants to take a look at it and fill it out can do so. Any last thoughts, Jason?
I don't think we should be freaking out. I think that this is, we need disclosure. We need the right agents and the best professionals. Our clients in the community deserve to know exactly how this process works. But I do think this was reckless, and I do think that NAR should have thought about this more. And I also think that this could have been, like, a lot of people don't know, prior to the trial, I don't want to name any names, but they tried to get NAR to do what we always have done, and that's just make this negotiable, and they just didn't, and they were arrogant about it, and all of a sudden we found ourselves in this position of saying, nah, you can't offer it. I get frustrated because, hold on a second, my seller is telling us they're willing to offer cooperative compensation, and you mean to tell me that I can't let the world know that to make the sale of their home easier? That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, Jason, thank you so much for your passion about the industry that we all love, and I look forward to seeing you at the gathering as well.
Yeah,
so
I'll see you in a few days.
Thanks so much for joining Real Trending.
Thanks a lot, Tracy.
Thank you for listening to Real Trending. If you haven't already, we'd love it if you'd take a minute to rate the show or leave a comment. And we will see you next week with more news and insights.